Hey, wonderful listeners.
I've got some very exciting news for all of you who are ready to take your brand to the next level. I'm hosting a brand story bootcamp on February 26th at 6 p.m. London time. In this 90-minute live workshop, we'll dive deep into how to create a brand story that truly resonates with your audience, boosts your impact, and opens the doors to greater opportunities. Grab your spot now, spaces are limited. Check the link in the show notes to secure your place, and hopefully see you there. Hello, and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it. Hello and welcome to today's show. Today I'm joined by the incredible Rebecca Jacquest, founder of Nyeeta, a brand that's redefining luxury with its uncompromising commitment to ethical and sustainable sourcing. Now, many brands are sustainable from the get-go. I think among today's consumers, it's seen as a non-negotiable, but there are very few brands that I've come across that take sustainability as seriously as Nyeeta does. Speaking with Rebecca, she's so knowledgeable and passionate about creating a beauty range that is truly eco-friendly, and she's exploring different extraction methods and technologies, which we'll get into in our chat, that are really changing the game where protecting the planet is concerned. It's really interesting because things like natural ingredients that you automatically assume are sustainable, actually, when you peel back the layers and look at how these natural ingredients are extracted, there are a lot of issues there with the kind of solvents used to extract those ingredients, which we will also delve into a little bit more. So it's a really thorny issue, but it's really refreshing to speak to brand founders that aren't just paying lip service, but actually really know their onions when it comes to manufacturing products that are truly better for the planet. And Rebecca is a great example of that, which is why I wanted to get her on the show to chat further. Their latest product is a patent-pending sunflower wax candle, an environmentally friendly alternative to soy. And it's just a masterpiece of both sustainability and scent, down to the type of wick they use and then also the wax itself. Really excited to have Rebecca on to chat a little bit more about the journey into creating Nyeeta. And I hope you enjoy our conversation. So thank you so much for joining me today, Rebecca. It would be great to get some general background on your career and how the idea for Nyeeta came about.
Yes. So it was when I was pregnant with my first child, I started looking at ingredients in a way that I just hadn't done before. I literally just bought products, and it actually sounds crazy to me now, but I just bought products and I didn't even look at what the ingredients were. And obviously when you're pregnant, there's some things you have to avoid. So that started me looking at them and Googling them. And there were things in there that were, you know, at best just unnecessary, sometimes potentially harmful. And I think the real thing that really shocked me, and actually one of the reasons why I started the brand, is that ingredients were being listed as 100% natural, but then they were being extracted with hexane. And hexane is a distillation from crude oil. It's the same as petroleum. And it is incredibly toxic. You definitely don't have to take my word for it. And I would encourage everybody just to Google hexane. And even on the government website, it has a lot of information on it. And some of that information is, you know, it can cause skin burns, skin sensitivities, lung damage if it's inhaled. It's a really terrible environmental polluter as well. And obviously it comes from the petrochemical industry. And there are some studies that suggest that it can have hormone disrupting elements to it too. There's a legal limit of the residuals that are allowed to remain on the final product once it's been extracted. But yeah, for me personally, I didn't want any hexane on my products at all. So that was that was the real big step that we took that right. I want to create something that is incredibly pure with absolutely nothing in it apart from the purest organic oils. And it started very organically. It was really just me making products for myself and my family. One of our oils, First Light, I actually made that for my mom. And then it just grew from there.
Because you were an actress, that's your background, is that correct?
Yes,
Nothing.
absolutely nothing to do with beauty at all. But I do genuinely think that because I haven't got any experience within the sector, that it's actually led me to do things in a very different way. And I don't think that the brand would be what it is if I had have done, because I've just come at everything from a completely different angle. So
Yeah,
yeah.
and I think that's what the industry needs is like new sort of fresh perspectives like yours. Why do you think that, just sort of off the top of my head, why do you think that the issues surrounding hexane aren't more widely spoken about, given that the conversation about like naturals and sustainability is so huge? You think that would be like kind of a
Well, you just can't even believe
glaringly
it.
obvious
So
talking point?
there's seasoned, and I mean seasoned fragrance experts I've spoken to that didn't know about hexane. And I think the reason is because people don't have to list how they extract at all. So even if you wanted to avoid hexane, you pretty much can't, because there's nothing online at all on any of the brands of how they actually are extracting those ingredients. So people just don't know. And to just give you a little bit of example of how widespread use the hexane is in the industry, the beauty industry is the fifth lar one of the fifth largest users of hexane, and there's 92 Olympic-sized swimming pools of hexane used a year in products. So to make a decision not to use any products using hexane is actually really no easy feat, because it's very difficult because so many of them are. But we take that step because, as I say, personally, I believe that's what's best for people's skin and for the planet. But yeah, it's very difficult. It's not listed at all. And we do list our extraction methods. So we only extract with the following methods: steam distillation, cold pressing, CO2, and enfleurage, and that's it.
And the last one, that's quite a kind of ancient sort of traditional
Oh gosh,
technique,
that
isn't
is such a special. So it's interesting because yes, the restrictions are very difficult, but actually, in some ways, they've been a wonderful thing because they've led us to find things that we wouldn't have normally fa found. So, for example, with jasmine is one of those ingredients that it's too delicate to steam distill. So all jasmine is either a synthetic version, so a petrochemical synthetic version, or it's extracted with hexane. So we had to, I didn't think I was going to be able to use jasmine. So I actually found this ancient technique called enfleurage. And I don't know whether you can see it, but for anybody just listening, every day for over a month, they place fresh jasmine flowers on the vegetable wax until the desired scent is reached. And then once it's reached, it's extracted with an organic alcohol. So it is a very timely process. It's a labor of love. And that's why people don't want to use it because it takes too long. But I love it and I think it's so special. And actually, it delivers a far superior scent, because when you extract in the other way, you actually lose some of the scent molecules.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the way that this is extracted, it captures the full range and complexity of the original aroma. So it's actually most like the original jasmine scent that you'll ever find. Yeah, it's really special.
Mean, I think it's so challenging, isn't it, to create something that's truly sustainable. I mean, do you think it's kind of the preserve of luxury brands like yours that are able to do that because you can have those high price points, which means that you aren't kind of constricted in that way?
That is a really good question. And I think that we never actually really set out to be a luxury brand. It's become a luxury brand because of the exceptional quality of oils that and the fact that organic does it is a higher cost for those goods, and also I source from small community farms, so we actually end up paying more for our oils than if we'd gone to a big mass farm, and also the craftsmanship. So it takes over a month to make our oils, so it's luxury from that perspective. And I do agree that it's very difficult, because not that is a high cost of goods, and not every can do that. Yeah, so I do agree with that, and I do understand that there is that to it. But I do think there's a lot more that can be done, let's say that, than is done.
How did you sort of go about surmounting some of the challenges that you were faced, obviously in terms of cost and trying to be kind of truly sustainable at every step of the way? Because I imagine that definitely can't have been easy.
Oh my gosh, it really hasn't been easy. And obviously, you know the restriction of hexane, but it doesn't actually stop there. So as much as I talk about natural really is not always good for the environment. And
No.
that is a really big passion of mine and super important. So when you harvest oils, taking out the whole plant, including the root, so for example, vetiver or cutting down the trees, you actually damage the topsoil, and the topsoil is a lot more precious than is talked about or
I'm
realized,
only
because
just learning this because it's so intricate, isn't it? And I think,
it's.
was it you that told me that it takes sort of thousands of years for topsoil to, after it's been sort of disturbed, to then go back to
Yes.
its original state?
So once it, so if the topsoil has been over harvested and damaged by the harvesting methods, then it can take between 200 and 1,000 years for 1 inch of topsoil to be replaced. And that's not just affecting, the beauty industry. That's food as well. So globally, the topsoil is disappearing faster than it's being replaced. So it's a really, really big issue. So we've again taken a very a huge restrictions. We don't use any oils that involve killing the entire plant or tree. Instead, we use the fruit, the leaves, the flowers. And people would say that our restrictions are impossible, but they're not. But it is very difficult. But then, as I say, it has also led to some really beautiful findings as well, of using methods and ways that we wouldn't normally have used. And with the candle, it actually led to innovation for me on the candle as well, because we don't use any hexane, but we can get to that because it's a long thing, the candle.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of, how does it influence the end product and the formulations if you're not using the whole plant? I
Yeah.
imagine it had a huge impact
A
and.
huge impact. Yeah. So okay, well, the candles, so because we decided we weren't going to use any hexane, paraffin, I think most people know about, but just a little brief thing, paraffin is not biodegradable. It does emit forever toxic chemicals. So I obviously went to try and find a biodegradable wax, a natural wax. And soy was the first thing I went to. But soy, while soy is natural, the process isn't. And the process of it is the flakes are washed with the hexane. The residuals of the hexane are then left on the product. It's then hydrogenated, which is a chemical process which uses nickel in the process. And then on top of that, it's also bleached. And if that wasn't enough, the soy itself doesn't actually burn very well. So it's always going to be a blend, or it's going to be with additives. So often that's a blend with paraffin, which you can find out about that. But with regards to the additives, so I there's only, there's not that many manufacturers of the soy. There's the top manufacturers, and then they send down to the distributors, and then those distributors sell it on. So I emailed all of those manufacturers and asked them specifically, what additives are you using in your soy wax, and what are they used for? And unanimously, the response was, we don't disclose that information. And on the material safety data sheets, it also says proprietary blend. So any of those companies purchasing that soy, which is basically, anybody that's not making it, manufacturing themselves, which is everybody, they do not know what has gone into that soy wax. And I personally don't understand how you can sell a product and not even actually know what has gone in it. And some of those additives could even be polymers. So, also the other thing is that the pre-coated wicks are often coated with paraffin, as well, on top of that. So I had to literally invent a new candle because the only other option was beeswax, but beeswax isn't vegan and we're a vegan brand, and also it doesn't hold the scent very well. So this wax is winterized sunflower wax. So the oil is cold press. You more get cold press on sunflower oil because the yields are about 50%, whereas on soy the yields about 18, which is why they pretty much always extracted with hexane. You can get hexane extracted sunflower oil, but this one is cold pressed and it's a mechanical process. It's a byproduct of the oil. So the oil is cooled and the wax is just taken off the top. So unlike hydrogenation, which is a chemical process, as I say, this is just a mechanical one. And we only use organic essential oils, no synthetics. And the reason you would say, why are you using organic oils in a candle? Well, the reason is there's 50% more wildlife on organic farms. So that's really important to use organic. And the wicks are cotton wicks, which I pre-coat myself with our wax. And it doesn't matter how amazing the wax is if the wicks are too thick or a wrong size wick, because you're going to get soot. So these ones, we choose four little wicks rather than one big one, to get the cleanest burning candle that you possibly can. But I do say, full disclosure, all candles do burn carbon. You can't get away from that because
No.
that's how flame burns. But if you are going to burn a candle, and so many of us do and love to burn candles, then these are going to be the purest.
I mean, hearing you speak, there is so much greenwashing that goes on. Obviously, we know about it, but I think the wider public doesn't,
I know.
especially in terms of when you talk about the soy wax and the fact that it's mixed with paraffin. So you're kind of,
Not always, not always, but a lot of the blends
yeah,
are.
sometimes, yeah.
And but if it's not mixed with paraffin, then it's going to have some additives in it. But I think I don't. I truly can't understand how people can make claims, literally claims, on their soy wax, saying how amazing and natural it is when they don't even know 100% what has fully gone in it.
That's the thing. And you could say, well, the founders maybe were in the dark about it a little bit, but at the same time, it's surely kind of a res they have a responsibility to do
Yeah,
their
I mean,
homework.
that's it. And I can't, as I say, I could never sell a product that I didn't know 100% what had gone in it. That's just, yeah, I don't think that's right. But yeah, it's really a shame that for candles, you don't have to list ingredients. So that's how that can happen. Yeah.
And do you know what the reason for that is, that they don't have to disclose what's
I
in them?
well, it's because so for skincare, because it's going in on your skin, like they have to list how they extract it. So if you're going to get the data sheets, you are going to see how it's extracted. But because it's not considered, like it's like a home fragrance product, but you're still breathing it in. So
Yeah.
it's, for me, I think it's really important. I think candles should have ingredients listed on them.
And obviously, for you, transparency is so important. I mean, how do you feel like that has impacted the trust you have with your consumers?
Yeah, so I think it is astronomically important to me because, again, so much is hidden under fragrance and
Hmm.
mixed messaging. And I think being so transparent with everything, hopefully, that will inspire more transparency from other brands. And also, I think the consumer decides the market, really. So if that is the way that the consumers are preferring, they want more transparency, then more transparency will come, I believe. So yeah, but it's astronomically important to us and a founding principle of the brand.
It's so important, and especially when it comes to supporting sort of local communities that you work with. Can you give any examples of where that partnership has really kind of made a difference?
Oh gosh, it's such a big passion of mine. And something when I started, I never even knew that that was going to be part of it. But yeah, so as I say, mass farming is one of the most disruptive forces there is. And by sourcing from small community organic farms, obviously environmentally that's better. But not only that, we're able to support some local communities. So some lovely examples are we source our yuzu from a remote Japanese island that was actually depopulating. And because of the yuzu growth, it's now regenerated again. And there's a little school for the little ones. There's an education system in place there now. And that island is very special because it's got a gorgeous microclimate of very cold in the winter, very hot in the summer. So the quality of that yuzu is exceptional from it. We source an oil called Thingy, which every time I say it, people are like, Thingy, she got that wrong. It's called Thingy, and it's from Bhutan. And Bhutan is a really special country. It's one of the only, and I say have to say this right, I believe it's carbon negative country rather than carbon positive country in the world. And there's over 160 households that we're helping to support by sourcing from them. And we have a wonderful patchouli that comes from Rwanda. Rwanda obviously had the genocide, so a lot of the workers are widowed or young adults that were orphaned. So it's quite heavy, but that's again over 200 local farmers that we're helping to support there. So yeah, and where we source the jasmine, a lot of the women as well are have been affected by guerrilla violence. So that he's very it's a lovely community there too. So yeah, it's wonderful. And the more we grow, the more we'll be able to support. And yeah, the more I'll be able to do of that.
It's amazing. Sounds like you're
Thank
doing
you.
fantastic work. Can we talk packaging for a minute? Because
Yes.
obviously you're a luxury brand, so
Yes.
there's the expectation that the packaging should be kind of very sort of high quality and premium. How do you balance that with the sustainability aspect?
Yeah, so again, our ethics don't stop at our products. The packaging was so important too. So they obviously do have the luxe feel, but they are made with 100% recycled paper and are recyclable. The label on the back is made from sugarcane. The glass is recyclable, and the cap is also aluminium, which is also recyclable. I do say there is a small piece of functional the seal inside the cap is plastic, and our aim is to be 100% plastic free, but we haven't been able to find an alternative to that at the moment. So yeah, that's something we're still working on to do.
Yeah, well, I admire you being honest and upfront about that, because I
Thank
imagine that,
you.
yeah, it must be so, it's so tricky. It's kind of like a Rubik's cube, I think of it, because you sort of think you solve one problem, then another one kind of emerges the other side of it, and it's
Absolutely. And it is so hard. Like, and that's why you have to just keep trying your best to do the best you can, I think. And obviously the more people demand, right, okay, we want an option to this plastic in the cap, then those manufacturers will have to start thinking about it and have to change it.
Yeah. I mean, do you
Yeah.
think that these things are going to kind of affect the more mass market sector of the beauty world? Do you see that kind of happening already?
I hope so. As I say, I really do think that the consumer decides the market. So the more that people actually are looking at the ingredients or trying to find out the information, then that's gonna only help drive that. I think, like you say, it is difficult when it's so for the larger mass companies, obviously they're gonna have shareholders to answer to, and they'll have a very different structure in the way that we don't. So being independent, we can do things differently. So there, for example, they'll be very much profit driven. So each sector, their profits will have to be up, and obviously they are going to make decisions that are going to compromise the product in order to reach that. Whereas because we're independent and we've actually come at it at a completely different way round, our aim is to make the most exceptional product with nothing but the purest organic oils. So we can decide actually we're gonna spend more money buying it from that small community farm than actually cutting costs and getting it from, a mass producer. So yeah, we are it is a bit easier for us to make that decision. But if they do make any changes, their changes will be very impactful because of the large scale that they go.
We're
Yeah.
always hoping at least.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, it'll take, I think it'll take a while, but hopefully you can sort of start to see things are slowly changing.
Yeah.
The organic beauty market is obviously extremely saturated at the moment. How do you guys ensure that you stand out and cut through the noise?
Yeah. So I think, again, there's a lot of mixed messaging. So there's a lot of products being listed as organic in their name, but then actually, when you look at the ingredients, they're not.
There's no real regulation. That's the problem, isn't there?
There's only a few that actually are. So I think we do stand out because of all of this, for all of the restrictions that we impose. So, for example, not using anything, even down to the extraction method, even down to our ethics on our sourcing of how we source. I don't believe there's anyone out there going to the lengths to make sure their products are of that purity and of that sustainable nature. So I do think what we are doing is different.
And do you see yourselves kind of helping to change the future of luxury beauty in general in years to come?
We're going to give it a damn good go, let me tell you. So yeah, I think the messaging is so important, and as well, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to talk to you here because obviously it's so much that we do to people to really understand, and also we've got the social we're pushing and our website, and every product comes with a booklet, and that explains everything that we do and why it's so special. So we will just keep going with trying to get the message out as much as we possibly can, and then I do think hopefully it will lead to change.
And how do you ensure that you kind of continue to innovate and stay competitive? Because obviously consumers now are getting more demanding. They want kind of cutting edge products. So for example, like the candle market is is enormous, and people want their candles to kind of perform up there with the sort of top end brands. So how do you kind of find that balance between all of the kind of the great sort of strides in sustainability, but then also making sure that the product is innovative and can sort of hold its own among all of the competitors out there.
Yeah, I think if we've hit any trends, or if we've, the innovation has come organically from our restriction, but I never ever want to be focusing on trend and what's the next thing, because to me, that's not the way round that we'll ever develop our products. We'll only develop them, as I say, to make the most exceptional quality product. And if it happens to be on trend, then that's an accident, really. And I have to do it that way. I have to do it that genuine way. For me, I just can't, I can't focus on, what's the next trend, because for me, that doesn't feel like, yeah, that doesn't feel the most organic way to make that product, really. But yeah, as I say, we have created something innovative with the candle. There is a patent pending on that. Didn't say that, but that, again, yeah, it was just born out of the fact it was a genuine need to create something different. So yeah, I think as we go along, there'll be probably more need to create something different. So I think innovation will come in that way. It will be a very genuine, rather than focusing on what's the next trend. Yeah.
And how do you kind of balance that pressure to scale and grow with the need to kind of stay true to your values and all of the standards that you've just mentioned?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So some of the oils, for example, the Enfleurage jasmine, Jasmia, it is just going to be small batch. And I think there's something really beautiful in that. But the other products are definitely able to be scaled. And the more we scale, the more we will be able to support the small community farms, the more we'll be able to do. It was always my intention and mission for Naiada to be a force for good. So as we grow, we'll just hopefully be able to do more and more of that.
And where would you like to kind of take the brand in the near future? Like, what is your like ultimate goal, would you say?
Gosh, that's a really great question. I think the ultimate goal would be just to keep getting the brand out there more and more and see it grow so we can do everything that we really want to do with it, which is, as I say, support more and more community farms, deliver the best products that we can. And yeah, as it grows, we'll be able to do more and more of that. So that would be wonderful. And yeah.
And we're almost sort of at the end of our time, but in terms of brand story, how do you sort of advise other brands who are looking to kind of enter the kind of sustainable beauty space? How would you advise them to make sure that that story they're telling is authentic and that consumers have that sense that, yeah, these guys are the real deal? It's not kind of a sense that
Yeah. So
potentially
it's just,
greenwashing.
you really, really, really do have to do your research, and you really do have to ask the questions, probe the manufacturers, find out, like, that is again another reason why personally I go to the small farmers, because I know exactly where that's come from. They distill on site, so I know. So I would. It is a huge effort, but I would definitely recommend doing that as well. Try to actually go to the source. Make sure you are really. The other thing that we do is we do everything in-house. So if you can, rather than just outsourcing to a lab, like, do everything in-house so that you know every single step of the way is to deliver the most exceptional products, and you're not going to compromise that just by outsourcing it. So yeah, just it took, as I say, it took 5 years to get to launch point, and that is because of that huge amount of research and time and everything that went into it. So yeah, just take that.
No, for sure. Well, thank you so much, Rebecca,
Oh
for
no,
joining
thank you
me.
so
It's been a
much.
really great chat. And can I just say, I brought my toddler along to the launch a few weeks ago, and Rebecca was so lovely and accommodating.
Of
And as a mum, you
course.
always remember things like that. Cause it's just like, yeah,
Yeah.
like, you know, she's such
No.
a good one. It's
It
like, you know.
has to be. It has to be. I love that. I love that you came with your toddler. And I think that's so important. Like, I'm a mummy too, and I think that it, I would love that to be much more accepted as well.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
that's
You don't want loads of screaming toddlers running around your meticulously
oh,
planned launch,
she
but at the
was
same time, it's always good
Oh
to.
my gosh, she was adorable. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Rebecca. It's been so lovely chatting with you.
Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes, and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes, as it helps people find us. See you next time.